You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Going Los Angeles, this is The Startup with Monique Leray. I'm Monique Leray with a fresh new episode for you startuppers. guys, it's 6 years we've been on the air as of this September. Time is flying. It's about to be May. I'm very excited. I have a present for you this tax season. Hopefully you filed your extensions if you needed them. I have the Southern Belle badass, Christina, coming back on for another 30 minutes today to share her tax and startup tips for you. I'm giving you the world's best. Yes, she's from the South, but she services entrepreneurs around the globe. Welcome back, Christina Charpentier-Biddle.
Hello, how are you?
How's it going, Christina?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm good. The sun finally came out and it stopped raining, but I don't need to complain about rain to you because you live,
I do. I live down here where we have monsoons.
Yes. So a little drizzle, you know, we can handle it. Well, it's good to see you. I want you to, I'm going to give you the whole screen here and you go to town. You guys, Christina is, she teaches also, she's an educator as well, but let's, my question off the top, you know, this last tax season was everybody's kind of COVID stuck a lot. Well, not everybody, but a lot like people are COVID dating, you know, online, they're still in their pajamas, COVID working, you know, re-engaging is something people are still kind of working on, but a lot of people just work from home. How much of the space can people write off if they're remote?
Well, what I usually do is I'll ask you, okay, what is the square footage of your home, your apartment, you know, the total square footage, okay? Now, how much? What is the square footage or the dimensions of the room you're using for your office? So whatever percentage that office is using of your entire home is the percentage of your home expenses we could use. So let's say you're using 10% of your home. Well, we can use 10% of your power, your water, your cell phone, you know, not your cell phone, but your power and your water, homeowners or renter's insurance. Because basically what the government is saying is, okay, you own a business. We're going to pretend you have a storefront. So we know you're going to have these expenses. So the government says, okay, here's how we're going to gauge that. And that's how I do it.
I love that. Yeah. And some people do, you know, selling online goods and, you know, meet people at the curb or ship it from here. So, all right, guys,
I want to add this too. It's not only the area that you work in. It's if you have storage, if you use your garage to store your items, that is also considered for business use as well. Yeah. A lot of people don't think of that. They think of, oh, well, I don't actually have a computer set up in here or this or that. They don't look at the fact of, oh, I use half my garage to keep my stuff, you know, filing cabinets or your merchandise. So that area needs to be taken into effect anyway, as well.
Yeah, we could consider that. Totally forgot about that part. And I know people have that. Okay, great. So that means the upstairs that I was storing like merchandise, you know, and swag for events can be accounted for. So look, yes, just like that, she's already showing her Southern Belle badassness, guys, for your tax and startup questions. Christina is going to attack some things today. I'm very excited about your lesson plan. So we're going to go full screen. I'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the classroom of the Southern Belle badass, Christina Biddle Charpentier. All right, Miss Biddle, get it.
Hello, everyone. It is great to see you again this week. And to just let everybody know who I am Christina Charpentier-Biddle. I have been preparing taxes for a little over 25 years. I own my own company. I'm located in two different areas. I am located in the East in North Carolina. I'm also located in Birmingham, Alabama. I can be reached in many different ways. You can call me on my cell phone or you can text me at 910-571-1092. Or you can get me on Facebook at C. Biddle, C. Charpentier-Biddle. I think that's pretty much, oh, excuse me, I about forgot one. TikTok can be found there at Tax Queen One. Well, now that I've got that out of the way, I want to jump into a little bit about what we covered last week. And last week we covered budgeting, how to handle your money in such a volatile market right now. And there was one thing I did not add last week was when the stocks are down the way they are, it is a buyer's market. So if you have any cash that you have, and I know nobody has cash just sitting around, but you know, if you have some cash that you can let go of, maybe $200, you can go into the stock right now in the stock market and buy these just wonderful stocks for less than $100. You can get some that pay great dividends. They can be paid either monthly or quarterly, or as often as they choose. But look into buying some stocks. Like right now, I purchased some more NVIDIA and Amazon stock along with Google. They were rock bottom when I purchased those. And I'm anxious to see how they bounce back when the economy comes back. But I recommend you just kind of buying one or two stocks. You don't have to buy a lot, just one or two. And the amount of money you want to spend is up to you. But I feel like in the future, the stock market is going to go up. I'm not sure if it's going to be in 6 months or 4 years, but we know that the stock market is going to go up, especially with the necessities. And the necessities are you've got your Google, you've got your Microsoft, you've got Amazon. You've got all of these staple, I call them staple items, like in a home. You have all these staple stocks that are not going to go anywhere because platforms run off Google and Microsoft. So anyway, those stocks are not going to go anywhere, and their value is only going to go up because AI is going to build upon that. And that's another stock you might want to look at, too, is some of your AI manufacturers. But you have to look at the growth, and you look at where you see these things going and what's being used now, what is the foundation of where we're going. But with that said, I want to jump into today's lesson. And, you know, this is called the Startup. And so I wanted to cover some different business structures with you today and just kind of go over a few pros and cons and ins and outs of some of them. Now, I haven't really focused much on your C corporations at all. I'm more into the sole proprietorship, the LLCs, your S corporations, and your partnerships, because those are your most common formations of business. First of all, you have to take into account the kind of business you have. Do you have a law firm, an accounting firm? Do you manufacture and sell widgets? What do you do? Because this can determine the type of company you need to form as. Now, honestly, in the beginning, people normally start as a sole proprietor or as an LLC. A single member LLC. So a single member LLC is nothing more than basically it's a sole proprietorship, pretty much. It goes on your Schedule C, which is on your personal tax return. So it doesn't have its own tax return. It goes on the personal tax return. I'm not a big fan of sole proprietorships, but you have to start somewhere. The formation that I really like are the S corporations. Now, to become an S corporation, though, you have to start as either a sole proprietor or an LLC. And then you have to ask for special consideration from the IRS to become an S corporation. The reason why is because there are such tax benefits with the S corporation that they have to really keep a handle on it, because there are so many ways that people can, for a better way of saying it, screw over the system with this formation because it has such tax advantages. And to go ahead and just give you an example before I dive into the S corps and partnerships, I had a client last year that she owed the government $14,000. And I worked out to where I used her formation that she was, and she owed 14 grand. Then I worked out if she had been an S corporation. Well, when she was an LLC, she ended up owing $14,000 in taxes. Now, with her being an S corporation, she would have only paid $4,000 in taxes. That is a huge savings between an LLC and an S corporation, or partnership in an S corporation. That's huge savings. Now, there are certain requirements, though, that you have to meet to become an S corporation. For an S corporation, you can only have 100 or less members or shareholders in this company. Some trusts and some estates can also become S corporations, be S corporations. But partnerships or C corps cannot, nor can non-resident aliens. So you have four restrictions, but you know, I've never actually encountered an S corporation that met any of those criteria. But the S corporation is, It's sweet. I'm telling you, it's the way to go. It's what I always recommend my clients to do. So some of the ways you can save with an S corporation, and let's do a comparison and a contrast between S corps and partnerships. Let me start with the S corp though. With S corps, you have no liability whatsoever, no personal liability. You are completely severed from your company. And if anybody wants to sue, they can only sue the company. They cannot come after you personally for your assets. There's also flexibility in changing owners. What you do is you go in and you change a couple of forms and you change the who owns what percentage. That right there is it for an S corporation. For partnerships, it gets a little more detailed. You have to have your articles of incorporation, and you have to start changing all the verbiage and things to incorporate someone else into the partnership. Now, the biggest advantage of S corporations are their self-employment taxes. Self-employment taxes are what really hit you over the head when you're in business, because if you don't know, self-employment taxes are you as an employer and you as an employee. So what happens is, you know that as an employee, you pay federal tax, you also pay Social Security, and you pay Medicare. Okay. What people don't realize is that when you are a company, and you are on the employer side, you have to match the Social Security and Medicare that you as the employees also pay. So as you can see, the government's double dipping, because as an employee, you're paying Medicare, Social Security. As the employer, you are paying Medicare and Social Security both ways. But what happens is, with an S corporation, you have to pay yourself a comparable salary. Now, comparable does not always mean what do people make in my line of work. So if you're an attorney, you know, and most attorneys make an average of $150,000 a year. Well, you're starting out. You can't make $150,000 a year if your company's only making $75,000. So comparable is, it looks at your revenue. It looks at your books. So if you made, let's say you had a net profit you had gross profit of $100,000. You probably should take about $40,000 of that as a salary. So that way you can pay your Medicare and your Social Security on that. But that is all you'll be paying Social Security and Medicare on. You will not be paying it on the full $100,000 that you made. Or $75,000 that you made. You're only going to pay self-employment taxes on your salary. The remainder of that money is taxed at capital gain rates. Now, a lot of you have heard capital gains are not good. They're horrible. Everybody always used to hate capital gains. Well, that was before the capital gain rates went down. capital gain rates used to be anywhere from 32 to 50%. They were astronomical. But now you've got capital gain rates starting at 0%, which is phenomenal. And then after 0%, you have 15%. So look at that, because our ordinary, which is what you and I pay as individuals on a W-2, we pay ordinary taxes on that, which means we pay Social Security and Medicare on that portion. And if you own your salary, you only pay Medicare and Social Security. The remainder of that money is taxed at capital gains. I can't get the words out of my mouth today. Taxed at capital gains. But like I said, capital gain rates are down, which is great timing to be an S corporation. At the end of the day, though, you can see where my client saved $10,000, owed $14,000 one year, only $4,000 the next. And when I say that, I mean she's making the same amount of money, about $200,000 a year. But what we're looking at is we are only paying capital gains on the remainder of the money, and she's only paying self-employment tax on her salary. Okay. So there's a huge, that's the biggest caveat with this entire S corporation, which is why you have to ask special permission to become an S corporation. Like I said earlier, you honestly need to find an accountant or a CPA, someone that can help navigate you through this process, because I don't recommend anybody doing this by themselves for the simple fact if there are so many forms that need to be filled out. It gets cumbersome. There is certain verbiage that needs to go on these forms. There are different ways to submit these forms. So I recommend you finding you an accountant or a CPA to help you navigate through this process. Let's take a look at partnerships. Now, I know a lot of people are, you know, partnerships. I'm in a partnership. Well, partnerships are not always good. Some partnerships, everybody always says, oh, well, I'm not personally liable for anything if I have a partnership. Well, no, that's not really true. The only way you are not personally liable for any kind of debt or lawsuits is if you are a limited partner. A general partnership means that you also have your assets on the line. So a partnership is not always great. Then at the end of the day, as you can tell, I'm not a huge fan of partnerships, but at the end of the day, you are looking at paying ordinary taxes on the remainder of your money. So, okay, you make $100,000, you take a $40,000 salary, and, you know, with an S corporation, you get taxed at capital gain rates, which starts at 0%. But with your partnership, the remainder of the money is taxed at ordinary tax rates, which means it is being taxed as you, an individual. In other words, the lowest tax bracket for us is 10%. Okay, well, the remainder of the money that you have from your partnership is taxed at ordinary tax rates, which start at 10%. Then it goes to 12. Then it goes to 22. So as you can see, the favorability of taxing is just not there for partnerships. You have a lot of high risk in it, and I don't really like a high risk, especially if you're going to be a doctor, a contractor, an architect, an accountant, anybody that is liable for a lawsuit. I do not recommend a partnership unless it is a limited partnership. That way you are limited on what you are personally liable for. Now, a good thing about partnerships is that you can have a large number of investors, which is suitable for some estates and some planning, so succession planning. But it's not good for all partners that want to be involved. So another thing too, you may be partners with your best friend. Well, you have a business idea. Not both of you agree on that idea. Well, here we are at kind of a stalemate. How do we handle this going forward? So partnerships make it a little harder to make decisions when, if in fact you're an S corporation and you are you are a one member S corporation, you can make all the decisions you want to. But now with a partnership, like I said, it's, you could butt heads on things. There can be complex. And doing the taxes for a partnership are complex as well. So that's why I don't really recommend it for most companies. And, you know, I think a lot of people are in the different formations because they want to be severed liability wise when it comes to your assets. And I wanted to give you an example too. I have an example here. I'm going to read this to you. And this might help you make a little sense to you. So let's say you have an S corporation, and I'm comparing this to a partnership too, by the way. So you have an S corporation and you make $50,000 in income. You would pay self-employment taxes, as any other formation of $7,065 on just $50,000. Okay. If you made $20,000, hang on just a second. I got my numbers backwards here. Whoo, Lord, what a day it's been. So the company makes $50,000. You would have self-employment taxes $7,065. If you got a salary of $20,000 of that, you would only pay $3,060. So you can see you've got a $4,000 savings here just by the type of entity you choose. And that is the example that I worked up so that y'all could see the difference between paying taxes on the income and the salary as opposed to a partnership where you pay ordinary taxes on everything. Let's see here. I've got so many notes here that I can go over with everyone. It is just not even funny. Now that we've covered some of the business structures, or two of them, I want to go to a sole proprietorship. So with a sole proprietorship, you are a one-man show. One person owns the company, and that is all. You have unlimited liability. In other words, anything you want, they can come. Anything they want, they can come after for you in a lawsuit. You are subject to self-employment tax and personal taxes as well on top of that. With your partnerships, that is for two or more people. And you have some unlimited personal liability unless structured as a limited partnership, like I said a little while ago. If you are unlimited, then that means that people can come in on you and sue you. But if you are a limited partner, then that right there saves your tail. LLCs are one or more people. They are not personally liable, but they are subject to self-employment tax and personal or corporate tax. So bear that in mind. LLCs are always great for some things, but they do have their downfalls. S corporations, like I said a little while ago, 100 people or less, certain trusts and estates, no partnerships, corporations, or non-resident aliens can be part of an S corporation. For an S corporation, the owners are not liable, and the only thing you have to pay as far as taxes is your personal taxes. That's it. And we talked a second ago about it coming through as a salary and then the rest of it as capital gains. All right. So we have covered most of the formations that people use. Now, once you have chosen your formation, now we need to know what can we write off. All right. And if any of you ever need anything, you are always welcome to call me or text me. I have several worksheets that I give my clients that really help you navigate through your tax process because it gets very cumbersome. As in somebody, they always ask me, well, what can I deduct? And I have my little deduction worksheet that says, okay, you can deduct accounting, commissions, anything that you use in your business. Well, then they come up with a question of, well, what if I do this for my business? It's deductible. Because if you do it to your business, for your business, anything for your business, with your business, under the business, it can be deducted. It just needs to be accounted for. In other words, don't go through the year thinking, oh, I can't count this, so I'm going to throw the receipt away. No. Contact your accountant. Talk to them. Say, hey, listen, I'm thinking about doing this. Can I do that? What are the benefits of it? That way you know whether to save receipts, or you'll know how to go forward with any future plans you may have. But some of the, you know, I get a lot of interesting questions. Oh, and here's one too, just came to mind, and this is for personal taxes. Can I claim my dog? Well, if it is a legit service animal, yes, you can. You can write off anything that pertains to that animal, just like a business. If it's grooming for an animal, toys, food, veterinarian clinics, that's for the animal, so it's deducted. So for your business, if you use it for your business and it's ordinary and necessary, it can be deducted. You just need to know, you need to reach out and find out what is deductible or not deductible in your line of work. Let's see here. Some of the expenses I do want to cover that a lot of people don't realize that they always overlook. Internet, your antiviruses. A lot of people don't think of their computer software. They don't think of their antiviruses. The only thing they think is, oh, I bought a computer, but they don't think about, okay, what does it take to run this computer? And that's, I get that question all the time. Your insurances are deductible as well as your professional liability, your errors and omissions, anything like that. And these are just random questions I get. That's why I'm covering these with you, because I figure if a lot of other people are asking me these questions, then there's more people out there with the same question.
Christine, so, you're being so thorough, and I'm sorry to jump in. I can't believe it's already been almost 30 minutes. Yeah, because you are giving people, like, I didn't even think about the servant, like the animal, mm-hmm. you know, I've got Winston Capone. He's got his own Instagram page and his TikTok. And, you know, he calms me down. Like when it's stressful, that's my anti-anxiety puppy. And
let me throw this in there too.
Yeah.
An emotional service animal is not considered a service animal. A legitimate service animal. It's not recognized by the ADA. But now, hang on. A psychiatric service animal is deductible.
Okay.
So, and you can go online and you can put your animal through training courses at home to do this, to where you can claim that pet or your psychiatric service animal on your taxes.
Is that why it changed, because people abused that? Is that why?
Yes. Yeah. It did. People were abusing it. Well, and another thing too is, you know, when I fly with my psychiatric service animal, when she was an emotional service animal, I had to pay $100 each way for her to fly just to sit under the seat in front of me.
Yeah, because they want to put them in as cargo. But I have a bulldog and he won't make the flight because the way they breathe, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, if they're psychiatric service animals, it's free.
Come on now. Yeah, this is great. Yep. And listen, guys, we got to tap back in with Christina. Christina,
yes.
I know you've got to go. You have a meeting. But guys, get with Christina if you have business startup questions, if you're in the middle of something, if you're in tax hell, if you're in receipt hell, you don't even have to get that far. She can get you on the right path. Give everybody your contact info, and please tell people exactly what areas you service.
Oh, I service the entire globe. And just to let you know, the name of my company is Premier Accounting. I am located in Biscayne, North Carolina and Birmingham, but I service the entire globe. I can be reached at on my personal cell phone number at 910-571-1092, or you can find me on my webpage at www.premierabc1.com, or I'm on TikTok as TaxQueen1. So any way you need me, you can get me.
Christina, we love you. Get back to it. I'm going to have you come back again really soon. It's always good to see our Southern Belle badass, Christina Biddle, Christina Charpentier Biddle. Are you just going
to talk about anything you want to call me, honey?
All right, you guys, get with Christina. She's the best. All right. I have a really unique and special guest today. I was at an event. Oh, there she is. Let me okay, look at those glasses.
Hi,
Yvonne. All right, I'm going to do your intro now, darling. Mm-hmm. So I was at an event, and I think it was Noba. How am I saying it, Yvonne?
NABU.
And National Women Business Association or something like this. Mm-hmm. But I was with my friend Lynn Curtin from the Real Housewives of Orange County. We do a lot of stuff together, brand placement. And she dragged me out of bed at like 5 a.m. to get on the freeway. I'm like, that's not something I want to do on a Friday. I have a lot of work to do, darling. And she's like, no, come with me. She was selling her jewelry. Beautiful jewelry, by the way. I have one of the pieces on. Anywho, this lady was at the typewriter writing out dreams and closures and manifestations, and it just, she had a cute little lamp, and the line was out the door for her. I'm lucky I even got to speak with her, Yvonne Romero, and it's called Poetry by Yvonne. And I got a special poem that kind of shifted some things for me that day, and I just wanted to say hello, Yvonne, and welcome to the startup. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me, Monique.
You're welcome. And I love your glasses. So
thank you.
So
I just realized the light is reflecting off a little bit.
No, so mine too. Yeah. Hello. Now, guys, I want to tell you something. What's really unique about Yvonne, she asked you a few things about what's going on with you or just whatever you want to share. And she types it in the old school typewriter. Like I said, it's a reinvented like library. It's cozy. She has this little aesthetic. You get one of these. I will not share it because it's personal. But on the back, she stamps it and she signs it on the front and dates it. And it's Poetry by Yvonne. And I think you're really on to something. You're very talented. Let's go full screen. Yvonne, take a few minutes to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers. And welcome to the startup.
All right. So, hi, guys. My name is Yvonne. I am a typewriter poet. I am based here in the South Bay of California, Southern California, and I've been doing this for 10 months now. So, and what else? I'm Filipina, and yeah, I've been writing since I was a kid, mostly fiction though, but last year I taught myself how to write poetry, and turns out I was a natural at it, so got myself a typewriter and started my own business. So this is my very own business, and honestly, it's kind of my dream job. There's a whole story to that.
Welcome, Yvonne, and yes, we can get to it. Now, I'm very intrigued by this because, you know, we were talking about some ideas, you know, because this conference thing, you know, there's all these talented women in the room. There's also talented men there, but it's mostly focused around women and empowering them and giving them resources in business to move their businesses ahead and be successful. And so you, and then there was another lady waiting to speak, and we kind of all three started talking and we had some ideas for you. And I just saw talent in motion. And I've never really seen someone take a couple of things that I said, twist it in the right way and give me such a gift. Guys, I'm telling you, she was doing this for free. I mean, of course she's worth $1 million, but then, you know, you make a donation. Yeah, well, we'll get to that point. But it's a quite personal poem. I felt like I could trust you right away. Does that happen often? I mean, I think that's where the talent is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what makes me special is that I have such a grounding energy that when people come to me, they can't help but be honest and be their most authentic self around me. And they just, you know, they spill, you know?
they spill the tea.
Yeah, they spill the tea. It's a little budget therapy.
Yes,
and And they, and because a poem is at stake, you know, an art is at stake. So that brings out their most authentic self, because they want to get this right. I want to get this right. So there's something about my energy that grounds them, that inspires that honesty to themselves.
That's a really great point. There is a poem at stake, and I guess you want it to go well, like anything else. And poetry is something that is so classically respected. I don't think there's anybody I've ever met, young, middle, old, people like poems. And even if it's a sonnet or it's a spoken word, it comes, whatever form it comes in, it's very highly respected. So let's walk it back to startup story here. So you wake up one day and you're like, oh my God, I need to do poetry. I mean, how did this come about for you?
Well, I will rewind it back a little further. Okay. So it honestly started when I lost my job at the end of 2023.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And the job market was so competitive and I had all these, and you know, I found companies I would love to work at, but along the way, it's like I struggled and I despaired because at some point it felt like a failure because I couldn't find a job. No. But there were these things that I wanted, that I knew I wanted, which is one, I wanted a job that would make people happy. I wanted a job that would make me feel like I'm doing something for them that inspires joy. So at some point I was working with a career coach. So she told me, oh, I got to go out and network, you know, meet someone who might hopefully know someone who's hiring. That's like, okay, if that's the case, I'm relying on fate and destiny to meet the right person for me. So if that's the case, I want to do something that makes me happy because I think that will attract the right people to me. So So there came a time where I'm like, you know what? I have no job interviews lined up. I have nothing to lose. I'm going to start a business. And why I picked typewriter poetry was because months before I started, this typewriter poet's profile got fed into my Instagram algorithm. Her name is Olivia Dodd. She's a typewriter poet based in London. So she would go out to public parks and write poetry for strangers. And I was so enamored by the art form. I was like, oh my God, if I were to build a side hustle, this would be it.
Never heard of this, Yvonne. I mean, I was like 2 weeks ago, years old when I heard about this.
No, it's a very niche art form. Yeah, there are typewriter poets out there, but there's not a lot of us, I guess, and not enough for it to be a mainstream art form, you know, for the whole world to know about.
Wow.
So, come late June through early July, it's like, all right, I'm going to build a business. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to write poetry for people. It's like, also around the time frame, I was learning how to write poetry because I was inspired by a friend who's also a poet. So I was like, all right, I'm doing this. I'm buying a typewriter poet. Can I do this? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Turns out I was a natural at it. And it hit off. It's actually posted in my wall right here. There were five things I wanted in a dream job. One is that makes people happy, that something I'm passionate about. Flexible hours, and I would love, and the people that I'm working with, they're friendly and that I love, and also high paying. So I pretty much hit 4 out of 5.
The five is coming. And you know what? It was good that you did the pillars, the criteria for like what you require, and you're like, right. The way that you slice and dice that, everything really is kind of on faith and, you know, you're putting something out there and you're working to get a result. And boy, do I know about that in my industry. I understand you have a vision, and the vision, I just say, let the vision pull you forward. Like, you don't have to see the whole road, but just take it frame by frame, beat by beat, and get this part done. And it pulls you there. I love that the machines are so intelligent to pick up on either the word you were searching or the speech you were using on your phone to drive the algorithm to this, because something that you were doing, because the machines are you know, more refined than we will ever be.
Exactly.
So you were doing something in your life that the algorithm pulled you to the poetry, the typewriter poetry.
Yeah, I was probably liking a lot of inspirational quotes and bookish stuff, So yeah. That somehow got crossed. Yeah. Like the topics got crossed, and yeah, typewriter poetry got fed into my algorithm. And then I also searched, like, are there typewriter poets here in LA? And I was like, yes, there are. Like, oh my God, okay, so it is a thing. So it's like I started this to look for my dream job, and then 4 months in, I realized, wait a minute, I think this is my dream job. I found it. I found my dream job. This is it.
Oh my gosh, this is a startup first where someone here, well, no, that's not a startup first, but I will say that this is something where someone was looking for something else and they found their dream job. I'm so excited for you because you do seem, and you're confident, right? Like it takes time for most people to do something and really get good at a skill and land on something and be able to say, okay, I can deliver this. With you, it's been what, 12 months almost? 11 10. Months?
10 months. 10 months.
All right. So now for the listeners and viewers, I want to get an idea of how you're framing this. And I know that you're still starting up, but what is your marketing plan and where will people see you and how can people get a little piece of your talent?
And maybe I'm on Instagram. My handle is Poetry Von Chell. Poetry, VonChelle. I'm also on TikTok. I just started that. My handle on that one is Poetry by Yvonne. But in person, you'd be able to see me pop up in different markets, mostly around the Orange County area, the Los Angeles area. I actually just came from a market like an hour ago. I just got home like an hour ago from a market in Torrance. So I'm just like, I'm going.
So you're booking yourself at like fairs and events and business circles. And those seem to be, the word gets on the curb, right? That seems to be doing good for you.
Yeah. So it's like one person sees me at an event, invites me to another event.
Yep.
Another person sees me at the event, invites me to another event. And it's just rising. Like I'm starting to find myself in, you know, cooler events. Like I'm going to be doing my first wedding next weekend.
What? Congratulations. Yes, that's going to get, listen, once you get into that circuit, that goes, we're in wedding season, April to like October or September, I think. Or is it August? April to August. Yeah, you're going to be red hot. So we have an announcement a little later this year. We're not going to do it right now, but I'm connecting Yvonne to do something really freaking cool later this year. And Yvonne, I think, you know, I can see so much for you. So are you, how do you capture the, because some of the poems, like I'm not going to publicly share my poem, but maybe there'll be a time that I will. Right now I won't. But do you capture a copy with the receiver's permission in a book? Like, how are you capturing? How are you retaining these? Or you just kind of set it free into the world? Honestly, these little babies. Like,
it depends. Like, there are times I would take a picture of it, especially if it's something I'm proud of. But if it's something that's like, oh, it's for their mother, you know, it's for them. That's all right. You know, I don't take a picture of it. So it's like only they have the copy in the whole wide world, you know, only they have. There's some poems that I forget to take a picture of myself. But so it's just also interesting that like some I have a copy. I have a picture of it. Others, it's like that's the only copy of the poem that exists out in the world. So there's something really special and, you know, free.
Yes, you freed it out there. I'm saying, guys, I got a poem from Yvonne, let's say around noon. I was walking around the convention. I'm like, oh, yeah, young lady doing her thing. Maybe 12:15. And then I get a call by 4. Within 4 hours of her typing and sealing and signing this poem, I get a call. And it completely started turning what she had intended for me in this poem. It turned the trajectory to make it go towards that. And I'm telling you, I'll share this later because I'm just in awe of it. But we were just completely in line. You tapped into something that day. What is like one of your biggest or most sensational responses to one of your poems?
Ooh.
Shocking or.
I feel like, oh, what? Okay. Okay. Top of my head.
Okay.
Someone asked me for a message from the universe poem. So that's the kind of poem where I do a cold intuitive reading on the person. And, you know, they don't have to say anything. It pretty much I channel, you know, I channel spirit. Like I ask them, thank you for helping me heal this person. Let me know what they need to hear from them. And then I, you know, it's like, and then like energetically, I hold them close to me. Like, hi, what do you need? I love you. What do you need to hear? And then so this woman, I was writing for this woman. The message I got was she's searching for someone, you know, it's like, okay. So I'm thinking, she's probably single. She's single. She's searching for a partner. So I started typing the poem, but then I guess something was like nudging me, keep it vague. Like, okay. And then those are the moments where it's like, you know, the thought, like phrases were coming through my head. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to question it.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to keep going. It was like, and then, so I finished it and I told her, and then before I read it to her, I was like, I don't know why I wrote this, but here it is. So I read the poem to her. When I look up, she was in full tears.
Oh my gosh.
Turns out she had lost her baby in a miscarriage the week before. So I was like, that was the person she was searching for. It's just that missing, that longing. And then when I reread the poem, it's like, oh my God, it made so much more sense.
Oh my God, that's so special. I had a similar reaction to your poem as well. and that, you know, I think you're tapped into something. And, you know, a lot of people in the creative space usually are. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, I don't think mine is as refined as yours, but there's been lately where I'm like, all right, why do I hear that or see that or get this impression? But, you know, when I interview people for a living, like not just here, but like behind the scenes for films or reality TV, you know, so it's asking questions and getting into people's space and picking up on things. And I think you really do have like this obligation to be kind and to be respectful and with that kind of talent that you have. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you're doing is really helpful. So it's kind of a poem, but it's also, like you said, it's a spiritual release, some therapy. Mm-hmm. For those that don't believe in that, it's almost like saying when you think of a song out of the blue, right? It's you get an impression out of the blue, right? Or I'll let you explain what it's like.
Yeah. No. So actually, I was when was this? I think around 2 weeks ago. I was listening to this audiobook. It's called Signs: The Secret Language of the Universe, and it's about how our loved ones try to communicate with us through the signs that we associate with them. And sometimes you think, oh, it's just a coincidence. Oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not, you know, but it's actually intentional.
Yeah.
So when you're actually settled in your spirit and, you know, just willing to listen what's going around you, just trusting whatever comes to your head, it, you know, some things just helps make sense.
Yeah.
And what I do, I guess I've always wanted to, I guess, help heal people with words in a way. And the fact that it's done in poetry form, I think just adds that layer of beauty to the experience.
Yeah.
And just adds that layer of mysticism, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's received in such a gentle, like I said, it's a respected art form. I can't think of anybody that doesn't love a good poem. Because, you know, music is poetry as well. It's just about how it shows up. This is getting a frame. I'm very excited. And guys, I wanted to say that I think that we need more healing in the world. Beautiful art forms express when we come together and feel good. And I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing, Yvonne. And I'm glad you're tapped in. I'm excited to have you back. We'll probably have you back on to do a check-in right before our announcement. Mm-hmm. And I'm really confident that you're going to be doing wonders by then. Guys, if you want to book Yvonne, you can find her on Instagram. Her Instagram is at Poetry Von Shell. C-H-E-L-L-E. Von Shell. Or Von Shell. Right. And then her TikTok is Poetry by Yvonne. Mm-hmm. And her email, guys, is poetrybyyvonne.la@gmail.com. Congratulations on your first wedding, Yvonne.
Thank you.
Welcome, and I'm excited to see what you do next. We'll talk to you really soon.
Bye. Well, just a quick thing about the wedding.
Yes,
it's actually for a nonprofit. They hold weddings for couples who don't have much time left together. So the fact that my poetry gets to wrap them in that space.
That's a double like arm chill. All right. This is going to be cool. I can't wait to hear more about this. Try to post some photos of that, Yvonne.
I will be posting everything about this. I'm so excited by this.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Monique. Thank you for having me. I would love to talk more soon.
Yes, you're going to be back. I think we'll have you back probably very soon. And what will you start up today, everybody? Be well, be good to each other, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.